Intervju Radija Študent.
V Ereš intervjuju bomo prisluhnili pogovoru z Izo Barzizo in Eduardom Solazom, stebroma neprofitne organizacije za eksperimentalni zvok Eclectic iz Londona. Eclectic letos praznuje 10. obletnico obstoja, ki pa jo zaradi nedavne izgube prizoriščnega prostora praznuje na precej nomadski način, z gostovanjem pri podobnih in sesterskih organizacijah doma in v tujini ter sodelovanjem z njimi. Tudi v Ljubljani so se znašli zaradi sodelovanja pri koncertni seriji festivala Sonika, kamor so v goste pripeljali tudi eksperimentalno gramofonarko Mario Chavez. Ob tej priložnosti smo Izo in Eduarda povabili v studio Radija Študent, kjer sta nam podrobneje pojasnila, kako je organizacija nastala in na kakšen način deluje, neizogibno pa je pogovor nanesel tudi na vprašanje preživetja tovrstne organizacije na Divjem Zahodu in načrte za negotovo prihodnost.
In Radio Student Studios, we are hosting Eclectic organization from London, Isa and Eduard. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. For the beginning, could you describe to our listeners what Eclectic is?
Well, Eclectic started in 2014 in Waterloo, London, with the idea of, you know, providing a space, a platform for musicians, artists, mainly dedicated to experimental music and arts and, you know, different arts disciplines. And we've been running with, the space until January 2024, which, we got evicted at the end of January, unfortunately. After 10 years.
So a few months ago.
A few months ago, yes. Something that we kind of like knew, but we kind of tried to fight against our landlords. But unfortunately, they decided to kick us out. Not only us, we were like about 20 kind of small companies, like more like creative people. So all of us, we had to leave our lovely space.
So if I understand it right, you rented it in 2014 as a space that worked as a venue, and as your working space, and now?
And now is a new era for Eclectic, which is quite challenging and a bit stressful, but at the same time, it's really exciting for us, because I guess that's where today we are here. After our eviction, we decided to run a crowdfunding campaign to get some support from our community in order to continue, because Eclectic was almost 99% self-funded, except for some occasions that we have received some funding, but it was, self-funded organization. So after the eviction, we started this crowdfunding campaign in order to keep going and basically create a nomadic program and try to continue our work and with other organizations and other communities. And here we are.
So yeah. This is how you ended up in Ljubljana on the invitation of Sonika.
Well, with Sonika, we collaborated
in 2018.
2018, yes. Where we met Martin, and we hosted a mini festival at Eclectic, and it was a really lovely evening where we met really nice people. And since then, we kind of with Martin and Sonika, we tried to kind of continue our collaboration. And I guess, yes, not only because of this new situation of Eclectic, but also because it's our 10th anniversary.
True.
So we kind of like decided, Isa and me, to, okay, let's spread our ethos and meet new people, and new communities. And so we started working with Martin with this project, that's bringing Eclectic to Ljubljana.
So. I mean, he's always
been one of our main intention and goal to keep being international, because of course for Brexit and also because of COVID, connection are way much more difficult. But we started like a few years ago to tour a bit, to expand and not be centralized only in London. Last year, for example, we've been in Birmingham, Glasgow, Manchester and Liverpool, where we connected with super talented artists. And this is what we are trying also to do for 2024 and 2025. We are trying to connect with a local organization, collective, artists and build fantastic lineups where also different artists can exchange knowledge, practices and be more creative and without being like stagnating in the same place alone and surrounded always by the same
environment, yes.
And stimulate the creativity.
So how you reacted to your nomadic experience right now is also with the program. But I would like to go back maybe still at the beginning, at 2014, when you were officially established. But was there something happening also before? Was there some collective from which this eclectic formed from? And also like how your organizational structure like developed through time and how many of you are
currently, eclectic. I mean, I moved to London in 2010, and then I started my degree in fine arts. And when I finished, I started volunteering for other organizations. And one day, someone asked me to curate an evening in Hackney Week, Hackney Wicked Festival, and it was a performance art evening. And I was like, okay, this is, you know, it's gonna be 3-4 artists performing. And then the curator of the festival asked me, no, we need a name for the night. And so I was like, okay, what should I call it? Can I call it eclectic?
And there was no ChatGPT back then. It's really yours.
It's mine. And so eclectic actually started there. And then there was this artist kind of running that space in that area, and she really liked what I organized, and we started together putting some evenings and building up something. But then things changed, and that project didn't last too much. And so I was like, okay, I need to find a space now, because I really want to find a space to bring all these people together, to provide this platform and, you know, and support artists. And then I, like, I don't know, chance brought me to in that area in Waterloo, where I found this beautiful space that it used to be. It was a former school, but also a Buddhist temple and a squat. And then became eclectic in 2014.
Did you squat it or did you rent it?
I rented it because, yeah, unfortunately I couldn't squat it. It was already taken by the kind of an organization that they kind of provide these kind of spaces, creative spaces. But yes, I actually lived there for 4 years, kind of sneaking. The landlord didn't know that I was there. So, and then eventually I bought a caravan from the 80s and I became the caretaker as well. Anyway, just to say that I started as a solo project, you know, really low budget, really, really low budget, working so many hours. Luckily, I met really nice people that kind of started helping me to run the space as a, you know, some volunteers, some I managed to pay, but it was a, you know, a little struggle.
But if I understood right, you're coming from the visual sphere. So what were the first programs that were happening there actually? How did you start?
Obviously, the beginning was very confusing for me because I was like, okay, well, I have an idea, but I don't know how to develop it. And I have started kind of very organically, just, you know, inviting some former classmates from the university. Okay, you have something to show, just put it there. Just paint the walls, whatever, do whatever you want. This is a blank canvas. And it was quite random, eclectic in that sense. Until, I guess, slowly, slowly, somehow I felt, okay, this has to have some common, you know, a thread. And I started focusing more on sound, and more maybe more things more based on music and sound art. And I guess I would say that, you know, eclectic is about everything, but the main pillar is the sound and anything around sound. Not necessarily only like music and concerts, but, you know, it's like a thinking about sound and philosophy of sound and, you know, like, yeah. So
what would be those principles that I guess could be also cross-media, like going through different medias, but in what are you interested in sound, or in what artists are you interested because of what they're making with thinking about the sound?
Sure. We hosted so many concerts throughout all these years, and I guess... For me, it's like sounds and music, like many people, you know, it's something that is, it touches you so deep. And for me, you know, anything that is like seeing someone experimenting with sound, but also connected with image, you know, or sculpture, and kind of bringing different art disciplines. It's what, you know, interests me, but also the process, you know, and I guess eclectic was about, you know, giving this opportunity to people to try new things, either emerging or established artists. That is like, okay, I need to maybe change a bit of my creative path, and, you know, and give them this opportunity. So.
And how is with these kind of, let's say, platforms or even supporting structures in that way for this kind of art or this kind of approach to creating in London in general, or like, you know, in the wider cultural space? Because for us here in Slovenia, this is very distant. So it would need some explanation, because, you know, how things function and how they developed in the last 10 years from your perspective.
Well, I guess, you know, it's anything that is more experimental or less mainstream or not mainstream, it's always difficult to support, because it's a, you know, it's a fact that you have less people within the community. I guess the force of the community actually makes, you know, to kind of move forward with an organization like Eclectic or others in London. It is difficult because London is so big, so many things happening, and then when it comes to support, it's like, okay, it's difficult to get sometimes something. So you need to, it took a while until Issa joined us in 2017,
yeah.
And she can maybe...
I witness how organically eclectic the community of audiences and artists grow together, and it was spectacular. At the very beginning, when I started volunteering, I can say, like, there were like a few times where we were like just us and the artist in the room, but I think that once you start building like a strong identity, and people feel it and can breathe it, they started to come back, and they want to be kind of educated, they want to be completely invested by this earthquake of creativity. And this is what happened. Like, our community grew so organically and fast in the last 3 years also, because we have always been there, like every day, working, thinking about what to bring to our community, supporting emerging artists, so giving a platform to who didn't have a platform, so giving the voice and putting together also established artists and up-and-coming artists that can also learn from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we still very often receive emails from established artists that knows and trust the work that we do and say, oh guys, I have this new project, I have this research, I have these new instruments, or I have this new collaboration, and I really would like to bring it to the public. And they know that they can do it at Eclectic.
Yeah. Yes, yes. No, no, it's, as you said, mentioned, it's like we've been growing organically, and as you said, you know, what's happening in London in terms of you know, the cultural situation is it's not easy. It's not easy, even if you think, oh, London, you know, it's like lots of money there, and well, it's really a struggle, to be honest. And we know that now without our venue, it's also, you know, people are like, well, where am I? Mean, obviously there's these other places that people go, but they feel like, oh, something is missing. So this is kind of like not because of Eclectic, but just the reality that when a space disappears, it's like, where am I going now? I have my, you know, I met all these people, my friends. And
this is my next question, actually. Yes, like, what happens to the community when it loses place and space? When it becomes, okay, I guess you're using a lot of digital digital approaches, digital space to still keep active and inform your community, but
what's
physicality is important, right?
You know, I think of the program, you know, when you curate things because you think, okay, this is you know, a good thing to, these musicians are great, so let's bring it there, but it's about the space and how people interact. I mean, obviously the music is really important. But it's like, okay, you know, during the breaks, I'm chatting. Oh, that was great. Oh, who are you? Oh, yeah, I do this. So this is how you build a community now without a space. I mean, we heard from friends like, oh, I don't know. I feel like there's a void. And that's why for us, you know, it was important after our eviction
to continue
and kind of creating a space with a space. You know, and I guess it's a challenge. It's challenging because Eclectic used to be, you know, a magic. It was a magic space, and for many people. But
could you describe it? Which
spaces
it had?
Well, imagine like you know, it was a 1890 Victorian building.
Oh, wow.
with high ceilings. So the Eclectic was like an open plan with all these beautiful beams, nice acoustics, and then we had a lovely garden. Just you know, in the middle of, you know, Waterloo, this so busy and crazy area.
And hidden.
So
which was like a double-edged sword.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because, of course, you cannot have like a lot of walks in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you can keep a genuine environment for the people that knows that they are coming, because they can like experience an amazing event, new sounds, meet new people.
It was a destination, rather than, oh, okay, let's go there. I don't know what. No, it was like, okay, I have to go. Mm. I need to, you know, and so many people got lost throughout these years because they couldn't find us. But
I also praise the fact that being like DIY for like a very experimental niche audience, what we were providing in that specific space was also like a very high quality sound and visual gears, were like a 4-3 meters screen. We organically also implemented like a multi-channel sound system. So he started with
alto 12, two mini
like
speakers,
5-inch speakers, and then it became 4, and then it became 6, and then it became like 17.
How many was at the end?
13.4.
So 17.
No, I mean, just to say that, you know, it was a space, an old place, but I think we work hard in order to bring, you know, special things to the artists and musicians to feel, you know, comfortable, no matter who, you know, and just to, you know.
The care and the attention dedicated to every single artist, no matter the background, no matter where you're coming, no matter how famous you are or not. You are receiving all the passion, the love, and the same care, regardless. Because, of course, we were always inviting artists that we were, like, believing in. Mm. Right. And this is, I think, one of the strengths also that me and Edward were always there every single night. Mm. And it makes a difference. I mean, it makes you also burning out. But, of course, love and passion is what makes you going on. Yeah.
So how many active members of the group was just before you lost it?
The core team is me. I mean, obviously we had people, we currently have people helping us, with the curatorial program, with all the social media stuff. But the main, is me and doing multitasking. I mean, is an event producer, but also Shiri is the sound engineer of Eclectic. So,
no, remember when we started? When I started, we didn't have everyday events. Mm-hmm. A bit less, but I was jumping from the mixer to the bar and from the ticketing. So, of course, you know, when you're like a grassroots, independent, small organization, you're a factotum, you know, you do everything. I think also after pandemic, we built like a little kiosk outdoor. And this also, I think it was like a very important point of meeting, because of course it was like outdoor in London, having gardens next to venues is really, really rare. And nowadays, probably no venues have like a beautiful and inspiring and safe outdoor place where to meet. And this was also another element that brought our audiences, the community together more and more in the years.
We had a little record and bookshop, so you know we had more people working with us, but obviously, unfortunately, the eviction.
Yeah, but now when you said a little bookstore, I also wanted to address, like, so you're not producing only sound events or like sonic events and art events, but you have like you already did a series of experimental music and book fair events. So maybe if you could also talk about like relation to other types of production, let's say.
I mean, the sound and book fair that we call it Eclectica is our kind of most precious festival, I guess the summer festival, because it started during pandemic. And when we had this window of, okay, now you can get out and do activities. So it's like, okay, why don't we organize something and bring together the whole community, not only musicians, but also labels and publishers and makers.
Yeah, and it started let's just invite like our closest community. And then you say, okay, why don't we open up to new independent labels and publishers that we also don't know? And what if we're also organizing like a 12 hours program of activities? And why don't also we organize some talks that can...
why are we burnt out?
No, but it was really magic to when people arrive and were setting up all the books and preparing the tables with the, you know, and with t-shirts, all the merch. It was like, oh my God, I needed to see you. I needed to be with you. And that was a magic experience. And then, you know, this year is our, again, 10th anniversary. We're doing, to celebrate this achievement, we're doing the fourth edition of Eclectica, obviously in a different space, but we invited more than 25 labels and publishers. We have a 12 hours program of music and DJs, and I hope, I guess it's also a kind of a day to celebrate this 10 years, but also to say thank you to our community, because I would say, I have to say that without them, we would be probably, I don't know, trying to change our career. But it's true that it's a day to celebrate the force of the people, you know, that is so important. And you feel like how much we need this being together.
And so. We need each other.
And we need
because
each other,
yeah. Eclectic without our artists and audience would be like a sad, empty place with me and Edward.
Yeah, of course.
But self-funded, as you mentioned at the beginning, it means that it was funded from the activities that it was producing solely. So again, a lack of space produces a lack of money, which you filled in with the crowdfunding campaign, as if I understood right.
Yes.
But what after? Do you have plans? How you cannot crowdfund for a rap? What happens after?
I mean, obviously, as I said, it's a challenging times for us. We are obviously trying to apply for funding, and unfortunately we got rejected. We're gonna try again, but it's true that we need to start a new kind of, not a new business model, but you know, like focus on other things that hopefully will bring some income to support us.
What are the possibilities of funding in UK?
In the UK.
So is there like a state funding? Is there like a municipality funding? What are the private ones? How is the structure going?
Yeah, well, we have the Arts Council funding, which is, I would say, the main funder for arts organizations and community-based organizations. But as I say, it's London is, there's so much going on that unfortunately the money allocated to London is really low, is really like there's not much, so it's really hard maybe to get it, so you need to kind of apply one time, maybe a second, you know, it's not easy easy these days in London. There's people like Music Venue Trust, they're trying to bring this new and the song is already happening in, I think, in France, but maybe, you know, collect £1 from these big massive venues and just get £1 from each the ticket and then support the venues, which I think is a great idea, because you can, you know, there's so much money in that more like a mainstream music and the music business, that we could help each other, you know, because at the end of the day we need this to create us, have a small space to build the artist's career. But obviously there are other fundings, but as I said, it's difficult, and you see how many venues are struggling and they need to invent themselves with you know, like, I don't know, more like bringing more like the club element, which obviously helps with the drinks and, you know, but it's not an easy situation right now. And as Issa mentioned, with the Brexit as well, so a lot of European funding has been cuts, and it's a struggle a little bit, yeah. So for us, I mean, yeah, it's a transition now. Yeah. And we need to kind of play a bit. And
are you aiming towards a physical space, or will you continue to play with the idea of hosting, like, you know, as an intervention to somewhere else and collaboration? Or what is your aim?
Well, as I said, we have this nomadic program, but then the idea was to, as part of our crowdfunding, so find a place to build a lab.
Yes, like an incubator, more of research, workshop, like bring more like the educational side of Eclectic to the community, build a recording studio, because we own the sound system, we have amazing microphones, we have a grand piano, so we have so many gears that people can use.
You had to storage all this stuff.
Well, yeah. Now yes. Everything is in a storage.
Story, yeah.
Which is hurting a lot, because, like, well, all these things. But yeah, the idea is to build this lab where we can keep supporting the community. And I think, in a way, recycle other spaces, you know, like maybe as I said, this situation that a lot of venues are struggling. So we thought, well, maybe we can bring new audiences to these spaces that maybe on a Tuesday or Wednesday they don't have much going on. So maybe we can help each other. So that's the idea for the time being, to kind of have this set up. But we really want to find a place where we can build this lab, because I think if we can keep facilitating, you know, like the artist, creative practice, they won't disappear, you know, because if venues are disappearing and spaces to create are disappearing, where are we going to go?
And also one of our main important role was also to give a platform to students. We have like a very strong relationship, as we were saying earlier, with universities and college. And we were offering and providing a space for the students that could propose their work and show their work publicly, like in a real venue and going outside the academic walls. Mm-hmm. And this also created like a void, I think, for them, because there aren't so many spaces where students can actually bring their work rather than like universities. Mm-hmm. But what we started to do now is like bringing our community to the university. So we did two series of events now in March, April, and May, in collaboration with Goldsmiths University and London City Universities. The meeting between academic world and experimental field was really inspiring for both communities.
Yeah, also a way to learn, you know, what is, you know, as I said, creating a space. So it's bringing our people and our energy to the university. And I think it was great to, you know, this moment where our audiences and new audiences got together, and it's, oh, eclectic people, you're here. Oh, you know, I've been following you as a student. So it's like, yeah, I don't know.
An exchange.
So this is that's the plan.
Poslušali ste pogovor z Eduardom in Izo, predstavnikoma neprofitne organizacije za eksperimentalni zvok Eclectic iz Londona. V studiu Radija Študent smo ju gostili med njunim obiskom Ljubljane, kamor sta prišla zaradi sodelovanja pri koncertni seriji festivala Sonika. Oddajo je pripravila Sava.
Intervju Radija Študent.